Bonjour, I'm Daryl Northbird, and welcome to the Ojibwe Way of Life Show. We're going to be taking you through 52 weeks of different subjects regarding the Ojibwe people. We're going to be talking about their lives, food, social habits, language, amongst other things. The Ojibwes are 100,000 strong here in the United States, roughly 75,000 more in Canada. We are the third largest tribe in the United States, Cherokees and Navajos being the first. So welcome, put your ears on, and we're going to be going through some good things here. So stay tuned, and thank you for joining us. I'm Daryl Northbird, and this is the Ojibwe Way of Life. Miigwech. Welcome back to the Ojibwe Way of Life. We have Mr. Bob Whipple in honor once again. Talking about his life, and he's also a vet, and today we're going to let Bob talk a little bit about those vet years. Bob.
Miigwech Nitawas, Buju in the way Mugadug. As Daryl had mentioned, I am a veteran. I'm a Vietnam veteran. My terms of service were from 1969 to 1971. The years that I was in the service were challenging, to say the least. I won't dwell too much on the experiences and horrors of war. It profoundly affects someone in regard to how war is conducted and the methodology of war. War in itself is evil, I believe, and I don't think that a nation should perpetrate evilness, not only on their own citizens, but citizens of other countries, etc., etc. If there were some good things that came out of my service, that was the ability to go to school under the GI Bill. But it also afforded me a greater degree of independence and a greater maturation in regard to where I was in that environment. The one thing that I do remember outside of the memories of war was the culture that was in Vietnam. I know that indigenous cultures are similar in context and how they believe in a higher power and how they love their children and how they revere their elders. The practices of patience, the practices of, and the practices of forgiveness, all the things that make us better human beings are similar, and I enjoyed that part of it. I found that very moving to know that no matter where we go in this world, particularly with our indigenous cultures, that we're the same, and the practices are similar in nature, and it's something that I think as Anishinaabe we should perhaps go somewhere else to find out how other people live. I've talked to a number of other vets, and they had said similar things, that we should have the courage, and develop our independence to be able to do that. And I think that's in itself is a very profound learning experience when you're able to interact with other peoples of other countries, other nations, particularly with the indigenous cultures. I can't say that I hated the service because, again, it afforded me some opportunities to see how the people lived. I was stationed in Germany for a few months, and I learned that that the German peoples had a high regard for Native Americans.
I was just going to ask you that. Did they ask you what nationality you were?
They did. And I took the time to sit down and talk with them and try to answer as many questions as I could in regard to the culture. They're very enveloped in what we did as peoples. Very knowledgeable, too, I might say. So they had to do a lot of history. And I hope they also read the Native American part of history, too.
Well, a lot of those histories aren't written by Native Americans, though, too, you know. So, you know, you get somebody else's view of us. I like to experience to just be there and to tell them myself. And I've had the opportunity to do those things, and so have you, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Oh, teaching was integral to, again, going back to that spiritual evolution, you know, to be able to articulate how you were as a people and to learn how to be more patient with people who have great many questions. I always welcome curiosity. So those two things go hand in hand.
I like that part where you said that war was evil, that it only affords a few people any kind of satisfaction, and those are the ones that are given the orders to the ones that go on out and do all the fighting. You know, I don't think I ever really agreed with that ideology, you know, that where I'm mad at you and I'm sending these 20,000 young men that are just, you know, beginning life to go on out and do my bidding.
That's correct, Daryl. It's life-changing. For example, I know many of the veterans, I can only speak of myself, but
yes,
it had a very profound effect on many war veterans, you know, boots on the ground.
Jeez, I can't even begin to imagine. I'm not a vet myself, Bob, but I tried to get on in, but I just never was able to because of the times I was on probation for my dark years or my experience years, you know, for drinking, you know, and getting thrown in a hoose cow and those types of things. So I do believe, though, that we've come to an end again, and I'd like to thank you again, Bob, for coming on in. Jeez.
Me good.
Uh-huh. Another fine segment we've done here, and we'll see you again next week. Me good for tuning on in. This is John Larper. This was the Ojibwe Way of Life. I hope you enjoyed our subject today, and we'll be back in next week. So stay tuned. Come on back. We'll see you again next week. Thank you. Meet you.